Welcome to another episode of Podcast Akila. On today's episode, I'll be talking about the 2021 thriller horror Malignant by James Wan. Let's kill it. So the opening scene for this movie, right? I went in not completely understanding or knowing exactly what this movie was about. I didn't even watch the trailer. I did not watch the trailer for this movie. I just took my ass to the theater, sat my ass down, was like, bring it on, James Wan. I'm ready. And boy, was this a wild ride. So the opening scene is focused on a beautiful, like, built hospital. It reminds me of the 1990s film House on Haunted Hill. It was one of those. It was like very dark castle looking type of building. And, you know, the full moon's out and everything's darkly lit, but it still looks pretty. And this lady named Dr. Florence Weaver, she's vlogging about a patient that is becoming too powerful and they can't contain him. As she's like going on with her vlog and, you know, telling the audience in detail what's happening and how, you know, if he continues to grow stronger, they're gonna have to do something about it. And then that's when, you know, the alarm sounds and then she hears people yelling out her office, and she goes to the hallway to check and see what's happening. And she realizes that her patient is losing control again. Not only that, but now people are being thrown to the walls. They're gonna have to, you know, do something immediately. And then they realize that he has a voice. But they found that out because he starts using electric powers. Like, he has these electrical power abilities where he can transmit his voice to radios or speakers or cell phones. So I was thinking, oh man, like, it's pretty creepy. Okay, so he has superpowers, whoever this person was. And as they're trying to contain him, the patient is killing damn near everybody that is trying to touch him. And the security guard has the gun. The doctor tells the security guard to, you know, take the shot at the patient. But, you know, he gets, like, pulled into the room and his arm is just... something really bad happens to his arm. Like, it's kind of broken and the bone is, like, all out of his skin. There's blood everywhere. And so the doctor was like, well, fuck it. I'm gonna do it myself. She picks up the gun, bro, aims it, fires it, pow! One shot. Dude goes down, right? As she walks into the room, she realizes that literally every doctor that was in the room is dead. So homie done, like, took out, I want to say, 5 people in this opening credit. He cold-blooded completely. You know, after that, the doctor realizes what she must do immediately in that moment, and she does it. Dr. Florence does it. And then it cuts to the opening credits. Now, I was really, I dig the opening credit scenes a lot because, one, it's a lot of gore for me. It's very gory, and I love it. You can tell it's something medical. It like a surgery. That's what it looked like. It was just very gory. And everything was zoomed in. So you couldn't actually tell what it was until, I want to say, the middle of the movie. Some people, I'm pretty sure you can guess that. But me, I don't try to, like, overthink while I watch a movie. Because once I do that, I figure things out too quickly. Or, you know, I don't want to know everything about the movie. I like to surprise myself. So I try to stop, you know, thinking so quickly and overthinking about what I'm watching exactly. So I'm watching all the, you know, the gore, the skin being cut off, the skulls, the x-rays. And I was just like, man, this is really detailed. And the track that they played over the opening credits, it sounded like something straight out of the Resident Evil soundtrack. Not like exactly, but the vibe of, you know, that dramatic techno type of vampy vibe. It's weird. Some of you are going to know what I'm talking about, but it sounds like a Resident Evil soundtrack. That's exactly what was molded into that. And it was just really cool. Now, once the credits are over, we see our main character, Madison. She's getting off work and she's pregnant. I was, of course, as soon as I saw that, I was like, what's she doing working? Like, she looks like she's about to drop, right? And they show her husband sitting on the bed watching TV. And I went, does this man not work? Her no good husband, abusive husband at that, he's watching TV and she's at work. But he tells her, like, she shouldn't work and whatnot because it's not good for the baby. But he says it in, like, a very sarcastic tone. And I was wondering why he was so rude. And they kind of argue a bit because she turns off the TV and he starts saying, like, this cold-hearted shit about her having miscarriages. And the theater gasped, okay? Everyone in the theater just went, oh my God, as soon as he like said that. And we were just hoping for his downfall immediately. But then he took it up a notch, right? All assholes do, they gotta take it up another notch. While they're arguing and he's yelling at her, he bashes her head against the wall. And now she's bleeding. Her head's bleeding. And as he realizes what he's done, he says, you know, I'm so sorry. Wait, I'll go get, you know, some ice and a towel. And he leaves the room to go downstairs. As soon as he leaves, she kind of crawls slash stumbles to the door, the room, the bedroom door. And she closes it and she locks it so he can't get in. And he's like, you know, banging on the door, apologizing. Doesn't matter because he's still, you know, an ass. So later that night, that same night, he's sleeping on the couch, of course. And he gets woken up by the TV just going crazy, like the static, and it's changing channels. And we hear "help me" come from the TV. Okay, I don't know if anybody else heard that, but you hear "help me" come from the TV, just like with the radio in the opening scene. And then it's just static. And he tries to, you know, goes to turn it off, right? And then the blender starts. Then he goes, well, what the hell's going on? So he walks to the kitchen slowly and turns off the blender. And then the refrigerator door opens. Of course, he's already freaking out now. So he walks over to the refrigerator and looks around. And he closes the door. And then he goes back to the living room. And we see, you know, someone sitting down on the couch. But we only see the back of their head. And, you know, the back of him. Like, the shot that was made, you know, we get to see the over the shoulder of the character, and we see, you know, him, and then we see his head turn, and as his head is turning, so is the camera, and it goes into view that is still like over the shoulder of him, but it also opens to show the couch and the person that's sitting on the couch. He goes to turn on a light because he thinks it's his wife. As soon as he does that, the figure is gone. It only happens for like half a second. It happens so quick. he's looking around the room. He's a little freaked out because, you know, he just saw someone there. And the camera is, like, in the living room across from him. So we get the shot of him standing behind the couch and the front of the couch now. That's the view. In that shot, you see the couch move like someone was sitting there. And then it just all of a sudden gets up and move. Like it was a ghost. And I was just like, okay. Like, this is a ghost story. Like, something is haunting this house, right? And then, of course, you know, he hears something and he gets it. He's the first to die. So we're like, yay. But he kind of caught everybody. Then Madison wakes up and she is walking downstairs to, you know, because she heard a noise. And the first thing she sees is his body. Now, homie has his head knocked completely off. Not decapitation. Just, it's like his head popped off and is crooked to the side. Like his neck was snapped. So you see, like, his, it just looks really bad. There's no blood for that scene. It just looks really, really bad. Like, his neck is, you can tell his neck is broken because his spine was sticking out of, not sticking out of his skin, but it was like, it was trying to stick out, but it never popped out of the skin. That's what it was. His spine and head was still within the muscles and the skin of his body, but it didn't break out. So it looked even more freakier. And of course, she looks at her husband's body and she sees the creature crawling over him and she just runs. Because now it's chasing her. And the camera view, again, James Wan with the crazy camera work. James Wan has some of the best and craziest camera works I've ever seen. That's why I love what he does. He always makes sure that, you know, his transitions are smooth and it takes you on a ride on its own. So she's running and she goes up the stairs and she's like trying to pin the door, but it's right behind her. Now, we don't see what it is. We just see that the door is opening, but she keeps trying to close it. But there's a force. So as she's like, you know, it's the same clip that's in the trailer. She's, you know, by the door trying to stop it with her hands, but it opens up with force. And then she closes it again, opens it up, closes it again, and then boom. It throws her, okay? It throws her to the ground. And sadly, she wakes up the next morning and realizes that, you know, her sister tells her that she lost the baby. And it's so heartbreaking and it's sad. That's one thing James Wan loves. He loves putting Annabelle in his movies as a pregnant woman that gets injured. He did that. He's done that within the movie Annabelle. By the way, the actress that is in both Annabelle and Malignant, her name is Annabelle Wallace. I should have stated that before, but he loves putting her in his movies as a pregnant woman. He really, and then just destroying the heart of everybody. Like, it's, you take the baby. Come on now. After all this, you know, the detective is trying to ask questions and whatnot. Her sister is guarding her, like all good sisters would do. And she's like, nah, you ain't about to ask my sister no questions. She resting, okay? But, you know, once she does get out the hospital, she realizes that whatever she saw that night is back. And as she's looking out the window, she sees a figure across the street. And the lights outside start flickering and then they get, like, turned off. And she sees this dark figure, like shadowy figure, walking towards her. And she starts freaking out. So she goes to run downstairs, starts locking all the doors. I'm thinking to myself, why didn't you lock the doors before all this mess. Like, as soon as you got home, she should have locked the doors immediately. But then, you know, the door she had just locked, she turns around to lock another, like, back door or whatever. And the front door she just locked opens by itself. So now I was like, oh yeah, that's a ghost. Whatever it is, that's a ghost. It is scaring, like, it is scaring the crap out this woman. And so she starts to run, right? Again, this scene is in, like, it's another chase scene, but it's so beautifully well done by James. It guides you over the house, right? But you can see through the house and you can see her running. But I believe it's like he definitely used a crane for this. Like, whatever set he built, he just took a crane and was recording from above the set this whole time. And as she's running, you can see her go through each room and go upstairs. And she's running through downstairs, right? She's running through there and she's going upstairs. We get a shot of her kind of disappearing, but it's not. You can definitely tell it was shot from above crane, because it's the floor to the stairway, to the stair hall upstairs. It's the floor upstairs. And since, you know, wherever she's running on the first bottom level of the house and it's underneath it. So we don't see her running underneath that at all. We just see her come out to the next room, which is it was pretty tricky, but it was definitely one of the most wildest rides a camera has ever put me on. And the next morning she realizes, you know, once she gets back into her room, she realizes she's just gonna board up everything. And as she's boarding up everything, her sister, the next morning, her sister comes up to check on her. And she realizes that her sister boarded up, you know, the door, the windows, everything. So she climbs the house and scares the living shit out of everybody while Madison is staring at her own shadow. That little small jump scare kind of got a few people in the audience, which I found, you know, hilarious, because it didn't get me. But she lets her sister in, of course, through the window. And then Madison, you know, has like this big reveal, a secret that she kept from her sister. And it was a secret that she was adopted. She reveals that she was adopted. As soon as she reveals that, the bass drops and a certain song plays. Now, this song is going to play all throughout this movie. And I was like, why does this sound so familiar? After the movie was done, I had to look it up. I found out where the song came from. It's by Safari Riot, Where Is My Mind? It's exactly that. After Madison reveals that to her sister and the bass drops, they realize they're going to go back to their mom's house, right? And they're going to get some answers, because now Madison has all these questions. Something's urging her to find more about herself when she was a kid, because she's got this gut feeling. Now, while they're going to, you know, talk to their mom and whatnot, we see like this tour guide. She's talking to some people about a building that they're working in, and she's just walking around giving them a tour. And she's telling them the history about it, and people are oohing and aahing and whatnot. Now, as all these people leave, because it's time to close, she, of course, is staying behind to finish closing up shop. And she's preparing all her things so she can get ready to go home. And then she hears, like, some movement or footsteps or sounds coming from down the hall from the room she's in. And it's really dark. Okay. When I tell you there was no lights in that area, it was none. You could not see a thing. But she kept, you know, doing the whole, hello? Who's there? Is anyone there? And I was just like, oh, goodness. And then it took me out when she said, you can't be in here. I was like, ma'am, it's already freaking, listen to your gut. Then she heard footsteps running towards her and realized she needed to turn on a light immediately. So she runs to this big, huge show lamp that was a few feet away from her, but she's struggling to put the plugs together. And the camera kind of speeds up behind her to show how close the creature is. And within an instant, you know, within a nick of time, she turns it on. And she turns around and sees there's nothing there. But then she looks up, and there's this creature on the wall, and its face is so ugly, and it scares the shit out of everybody inside of the audience, and it just grabs her. And then the bass drops again, and she is tied to the ceiling somewhere. And this creature-looking thing is in there with her, doing God knows what. After Madison and her sister leaves her mom's house, Madison reveals to the detective with her sister, because she thinks that she's seen visions of the killer. I also skipped that part. Okay, I realize I did. I'm just going off of my head here. I have a script. I'm going by it, but my stuff is all kind of out of whack. But she admitted that she is seeing visions of the killer killing people. Because I think it was the second kill. Because the first kill was Dr. Florence. And that's how Gabriel got his weapon, right? It was the trophy that the doctor has for her medical achievements. And he kind of broke it and then, you know, molded it and sharpened it and turned it into a weapon. A blade. Which is a pretty sick blade, if you ask me. I still want it. But then she sees a second vision of another person. This time a man. And she's watching all this stuff unfold. And so she lets him know, like, hey, I can tell you right now exactly where this body is. And the detectives are like, really? Visions? We're supposed to trust you over visions? Like, you just got out the hospital, you're probably losing your mind because, you know, you hit your head. She's like, no, trust me. So on this whim, they follow, they go to where she says, and they find the body. And so she's trying to tell them that, you know, that these visions are extremely realistic, but they happen in real time. And as usual, cops are useless and they don't believe you, yada, yada, yada. But then, the detective, which is Detective Shaw, another one, James Wan, I don't know what is up with you and the last name Shaw and making these people detectives, but if you're trying to build a universe with all your movies, please, please let us know if Saw and the Conjuring and The Malignant, if this is all together. Like, dude, can you imagine Dead Silence? If Detective Shaw is a son of another detective, because in Dead Silence there's a detective that follows that protagonist around named Detective Shaw. So I'm just gonna assume that, you know, that's his son. I'm assuming here. Anyway, so they go back to Madison's house with her sister, Detective Shaw, and his partner. And they're trying to get more information and whatnot. And she's saying that, you know, she realized that she came from another place, which is a different hospital. and that she used to talk to an imaginary friend, and she thinks he's behind it, right? Of course, again, they don't believe her even after, you know, she told them where the body was. And they're sitting in her living room, and they come up with a plan to do something. I forgot. But as they're about to, like, walk out the door, the lady that was kidnapped from that building at her job, she literally falls from the ceiling through the damn house into the living room floor, right? Into the living room floor. And the bass drops again, and everybody's just sitting there like, what the fuck? Everyone gasped and was like so confused. I just heard a lot of people go, what the fuck? Listen, anytime the bass drops in this movie, it's always a what the fuck moment. It is never like, it is truly a what the fuck moment. I love what James has used the song for. It's perfect. It fits the movie perfectly. As the song is playing, though, they're showing that Madison is getting arrested. That, you know, a forensics has shown up at her house. They take the lady that fell through her house in on a gurney in the ambulance. They think that Madison is the one doing all the killing, right? We know that's not true, but they don't. So her sister is trying to convince the detective, like, hey, come on, this isn't right. You know she did, like, she was trying to help. She would never do anything like this. And so, of course, they told her, you know, if you don't back off, we're gonna say that you were an accomplice. So that's when she realized, you know, Sydney, that's when she realized that she had to do something to help her sister ASAP. So she goes to her mom's house, or I think she calls somebody, or I think she calls her mom, or gets some type of information from somewhere over the phone, and she finds out that the old hospital where her sister was is still standing, but it's abandoned. So she drives up there, and this is like during like daylight. This, like, it's still daylight outside while she's driving up there. Now she sees the hospital. She makes eye contact with the hospital, and it's complete daylight outside. And then when she pulls up to the hospital, all she gets, no, sorry. But when she pulls up to the hospital, it's dark and the full moon is up. And not only that, when she parks on the cliff, like close to the cliff. And I was like, why would you park that close? And a couple of people kind of laughed and chuckled, because this movie was so camp all the way through. Like, I'm not joking. This has a little bit of everything for everyone. I really enjoyed myself. But she pulls up to the edge and gets out the car. And she starts climbing through, you know, the gate, underneath the gate and through it. And she starts finding old records and VHS tapes from her sister's medical records. And then she goes back to her mom's house. Now, while this is happening, they put Madison in jail with all these other criminals. And she's screaming at them like, hey, I shouldn't be here. I need help, blah, blah, blah. And of course, they ignore her. Now, while she's in, you know, in the jail cell with all these women, we cut back to Sydney, her sister, and she's talking with, you know, her mom about Madison, who we find out her real name is Emily. So we finally see what's on the VHS tapes and the records. And it's Dr. Florence, you know, making, you know, vlogging her progress with Emily, who we then realize has something attached to her that it looks like a very alien like parasitic creature, but we find out it's a twin. We find out that Madison and her twin brother were born joined together, except, you know, Madison has no memory of them, of Gabriel at all, because he was on the back of her head like Voldemort. Okay. And we see it moving and it looks all weird. The arms are like really short, like a T-Rex. And anytime she called it, so Dr. Florence called Gabriel a parasitic twin. She called him a parasitic twin. So what it was doing, it was feeding off of Madison. So while she was having, you know, miscarriages, it was feeding off her babies. That's the reason why she was having these miscarriages. And it was trying to build himself up. That's what Gabriel was trying to do. He used to talk to her as well. And like on the toy phone and whatnot. But something strange happens. But I also forgot to mention one thing. Sorry for going back and forth like this and all wacky. But there was another chase scene in the movie with Detective Shaw. And he's chasing Gabriel, right? But he is getting his ass whooped. Okay, Gabriel is throwing hands, kicking, and whatnot. And he's losing, but he's so fast. And he sees, like, the creepy face. Detective Shaw saw the creepy face. So he knows it's not Madison. So I don't know why they arrested her like that was going to help. So anyway, flash forward. As all this, you know, medical stuff about Madison is being revealed, she starts changing. But she doesn't start changing until some of the inmates or idiot girls that were in the cell with her, they start jumping her. Like, they start beating the crap out of her. And then, you know, they back up because they think she's having a seizure. But what we're seeing is her finally transitioning into Gabriel, right? So her eyes start rolling to the back of her head. And the camera is spinning around. And as she's on the floor. And she gets up, but she's standing, like, her back is toward everyone, right? Her back is towards everyone. So we're thinking, oh man, you know, she's having a seizure. No. Her arms start, you know, going backwards. And then she starts screaming. And she's opening her skull. This was the very, like, goriest part. And everyone in the cell is screaming, saying, what the fuck? Because Gabriel is still in the back of her head. Right, all they did was cut out Gabriel and then put the rest of him back in her head, which is literally just the face part. So she's ripping her skull out, right, like skull apart to let Gabriel come through. And she stands up and now Gabriel is in full control and he just lunges at all these girls. And he's just beating their asses. He's killing them, of course. And it's a really gory fight. Like, that's one hell of an introduction. Like, okay, I'm here. Like, that's the big plot twist. And, you know, his arm goes through one girl. He breaks the neck of another girl. Breaks two arms. To the point where blood and bone is just coming out of a person's body. Like, he's killing everyone that is in this cell. And I live for it. And of course, the guard or officer that was supposed to be watching them comes in a little late and sees it, what's happening. And he tries to open the cell. But instead of that, Gabriel grabs him and just kind of bashes his head against the jail cell repeatedly and breaks out. Now, Gabriel is going through the precinct and he is killing all these officers. He's trying to find his blade and his outfit, right? Which is the long coat, the long black coat. Looks like something out of the Matrix. It was hilarious. Anyway, so he does all this and he makes his way to the evidence room. And one of the forensic scientists, one of the forensic specialists, she's in the room. But she hears all the screaming and gunshots firing. So she has this feeling to hide because it's getting really closer. So she hides and she kind of sees Gabriel digging around for evidence. And she's trying to stay quiet and whatnot. Gabriel finds his coat and his blade and he just bolts, right? He leaves. Now, this is the big and last fight scene of the movie. Once he gets to, like, the main office room of the precinct and all the officers are, like, firing at him, it reminds me of something straight out the Matrix. Because, you know, the black coat don't help much. And he's literally moving around so fast. But it's like, how are they not, like, shooting him? That's the thing. Like, they would be perfect stormtroopers. Like, these cops suck so hard. And he's literally killing all of them. So, Detective Shaw and his partner. By the way, I saw someone say that, that the detective and his partner was baby Keanu Reeves and one of Sykes. And I can't seem to unsee it. I can't seem to unsee it. Who was that that said that? Wow Raven. Wow Really Raven. It was on Twitter. And Twitter handle Raven. Her name is Wow Really Raven. So Wow Really Raven said, I just watched baby Keanu and a Wanda Sykes type go up against some weird ugly thing in Malignant. Was a good ass watch. See, when I watched it, I was saying, yeah, she looked like Wanda, but I ignored it. Like, bro. Oh, I want to, like, hang that tweet on my wall and I just want to frame it. But she also said, he had Madison running around like an evil Swiss Army knife. Like, yeah. An evil Swiss Army knife. I'm going to make that into a shirt. I'm going to make a Malignant shirt with Madison. Well, not with, with Gabriel. And it's going to say evil Swiss Army knife. That is too good. That is too good. It's fucking hilarious. Anyway, so back to the movie. So he is, you know, toying around with these officers and killing them left and right. Again, scene out the Matrix, and of course, there's a slow-mo where he flips, and I believe he kills another detective in a brutal way, and it was just glorious. And yes, Detective Shaw and his partner shows up, and they're trying to stop it, but he realizes that it is Madison. And that her sister was right, because he got a call saying, you know, it's a parasitic twin. They're one and the same person. You can't kill her. You can't do anything yet. We got to fix this. And he tries to shoot her. And of course, he, like, Gabriel did something so funny in this movie. Okay. While they're shooting at him, I'm talking about Detective Shaw. He takes a chair and he just yeets it across the room and it hits both the detective and his partner because they're trying to leave. They're like, they were leaving He didn't have to do that. He was just like, nah, fuck you too. And he threw it and they just fell and got knocked out. And it was hilarious. And he jumped, you know, out of the window to go find his mother. Because that's the whole thing. He wanted to kill his mom for giving him up. You know, abandonment issues. Aww. My question is, you know what? I'll save that for later. Now, Gabriel finally, you know, gets to the hospital where he... okay, so the lady, let me clarify that. So the lady that he had kidnapped and that fell through Madison's floor, that is their biological mother. Okay, remember, Madison is adopted. So is Gabriel. That woman was the biological mother. Okay, so he has abandonment issues and he's going to go back to finish the job. He's going to kill this woman. And Sydney gets there before Gabriel and... sadly, he gets in the room before her. And, you know, Sydney is trying to stop Gabriel by calling out Madison's name and saying, you know, she loves her and that she has to snap out of it and fight back. And then their biological mother is just staring at Gabriel and saying, you know, I'm sorry. I should have never given you up. I'm so sorry. I love you, my son. And that makes him stop. Okay, it's like that's all he wanted. But then, you know, Detective Shaw comes from behind and shoots him. And he kind of, I think he throws Detective Shaw as well out the room. And kind of closes and locks the door. And now he flips something. It's not like I think it was like the second bed that was in the room. And he flips it and it lands on Sydney and she can't move because it is super heavy. And as, you know, he's talking and saying, you know, she was always going to leave me with you around. And if I get rid of you, she'll be my sister again. And he was envious of that. He didn't like the fact that his sister had another sibling, okay? So he was jealous of everything. And then Madison... realizes that she can use her mind to fight back, and she takes him, she tries to talk to him and whatnot, but she's trying to, you know, it's taking her a while to use her abilities because, you know, if Gabriel has them, so does she. But the scene happens where she kills the mom, Gabriel kills the mom, and then shoots Sydney in the head. Now, everyone is screaming at this part of the movie because we're like, no, like, because we really thought like, damn, we're going to live. But of course, it's then revealed that it was all an illusion that Madison projected into Gabriel's head, just like he projected all those visions into her head. Sydney was still alive and so was her mother. But she puts Gabriel in a jail cell because, you know, she has to lock him away some type of way. And he's like, you know, I could use your body better than you can. She goes, no, you don't. No, you can't. This isn't my body. She said that, you know, she's going to get stronger and she'll be waiting for his ass. And that's how she defeats him. She literally locks him in a mental jail cell. And then she goes back to her regular body state and she takes the heavy bed and throws it off her sister. Because everything that Gabriel's doing, she realized she could too. So all the, you know, super strength, the telepathic abilities she had. So we don't really get into that at all. But the movie ends with, you know, Madison and Sydney hugging on the floor with Madison, you know, holding her side because she's been shot, you know, with all the bullets that Gabriel was trying to dodge and weave. And her biological mother is smiling at them. And she's just like, oh, okay, yay, it's over. And then we just see the lamp. Now, it doesn't come on, but we hear the buzz, right? Like, Gabriel is still there, which he is. But she says she'll be ready for him this time. So, next time. So, I think it was a setup for, like, a sequel. I think this is what James wanted. This is definitely like one of a setup to a sequel. The main thing I loved about this film was it started off like every other horror movie cliche that we've seen before, and then it takes like an extremely unique and original turn in the most satisfying way, and I dig that a lot. I love all the, you know, campy goofs like Sydney parking near the cliff and Gabriel fighting like a superhero in the Matrix and him throwing the damn chair. I love that James gives us some amazing camera work that makes you feel like you're on a wild ride. I love that every time the bass dropped, there was always a what the fuck moment. And again, the camera work, it adds so much tension. James has another banger. I loved it. I just hate that, you know, it left a lot of questions unanswered. But like I said, I guess it's supposed to set up a sequel, because he really does like building universes with his movies. Like, I do have a couple of questions though. Like, how did Gabriel come to be? Like, how did that happen? Why does he look that way? It looks creepy, like an alien. How did he even get there? And then, like, does Gabriel have like invisible abilities? Because, you know, the whole couch cushion moved by itself like a ghost was sitting down, and we didn't get an explanation for that. Why does Gabriel have powers? That's another thing. Why does he have powers? And oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention. And there was a scene in the movie where they're interrogating her after finding the woman that fell. And Gabriel makes a phone call to Dr. Shaw's phone, and they're sitting right across from her. And then he answers the phone and puts it on speaker, and they hear Gabriel's voice. Now, they talk to him and whatnot, but they still put her in a jail cell. And I was just like, why? But it's a good thing that they did, I guess. And another question. When did Gabriel learn to fight? Homie was just duking out everybody. He really was. And it has two good chase scenes. You know, Madison running through her house to get away. And Detective Shaw versus Gabriel. That fight scene. And that chase scene. I think it was beautifully done. And my last thoughts about this movie is, people who don't like this movie are probably the ones who get annoyed by a character building and a slow burn. Okay? They need like a fast pace and action to enjoy films, and something straightforward and to the point. Maybe a little bit logical, or at least try to be logical. And if you said you figured out the twist to Malignant before it happened, you're lying. There's no way you could have guessed that Gabriel was in her skull at the back of her head that entire time. Anyway, James made this movie for horror fans as a love letter. It has a little bit of everything in this movie. It's camp, it's dark castle, it's giallo, cat scares, and slashers all loaded into one. He loaded this movie up for everyone, and it was bonkers. So thank you, James Wan. And with that being said, thank you for listening. I will talk to you next time on a new episode of Podcast Aquila. I know I said some mistakes within this episode, like Shaw being a detective and dead silence. I was wrong. I know it was Mary Shaw, the villain of that movie, but you know what I'm saying, okay? It's not the first time he used the name Shaw. If you love The Matrix and Lord Voldemort, you will love this movie. This is me signing off. And remember, always kill everything like a hitman, never miss.